always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. Five Marines are missing after their helicopter went down in the mountains of Southern California.
The helicopter was located in Pine Valley, which is part, which adjoins the Cleveland National Forest, which is a very remote area. And currently, because of the weather conditions, as we've seen what's been happening inside of Southern California with the rains, this area was affected by snow. So that could potentially impact what is currently a search and rescue operation.
ABC's Louis Martinez at the Pentagon. CENTCOM says a U.S. airstrike today in Baghdad targeted a senior leader of an Iranian-backed militia behind attacks on U.S. troops in the region. Attorney General Garland informed leaders of the House and Senate Judiciary Committees that Special Counsel Robert Hur has completed his investigation into President Biden's handling of classified documents. Senate Republicans blocked the passage of a bipartisan border package. Many say it just didn't go far enough. This is ABC News. New data from Harvard University finds a record number of Americans, 22.4 million, can't afford rent. It's about half of the renters in America who were spending more than 30% of their income on housing in 2022. The study finds the number of affordable units with rents under $600 a month also dropped to 7.2 million that year, or about 2 million fewer compared to a decade ago. Raising the bar on cleaning the climate.
The European Commission recommending that the EU cut its net greenhouse gas emissions by 90% by 2040, raising questions as to how the bloc plans to deliver on its targets. The announcement will trigger months of discussions. The European Parliament will have to approve the plan. Already, recommendations concerning agriculture were weakened after weeks of protests by farmers across the EU. Inez de la Quatera, ABC News. Paris.
Tiger Woods says he's going to make his 2024 debut next week at the Genesis Invitational in Southern California. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
The story of Black History Month starts in Chicago. It's 1915 and thousands are there to celebrate 50 years since the Emancipation Proclamation and the end of slavery. The gathering also inspires civic organizations to uncover the many achievements of Black citizens. By 1926, the celebration of African American history is official. This also is a time for rising racial pride. The Black middle class is expanding, and industrial cities like Milwaukee are luring African Americans with good jobs. There's so much more to tell you. Listen for the next Black History Month story here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Universities of Wisconsin have a new website listing all online courses across the system's 13 campuses. The website lists more than 200 online programs and links to the campuses that offer them. The UW system is facing an $18 million deficit by this summer after years of declining enrollment and lower state aid. Four two-year branch campuses are closing. A Republican bill aims to ban so-called loyalty oaths from Wisconsin state universities and technical colleges. The target is diversity, equity, and inclusion, but Democratic Representative Joni Emerson worries about unintended consequences.
Would this mean that we wouldn't be able to have any college Democrats, college Republican clubs, any sort of religious organization clubs?
The bill got a hearing yesterday. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
The Bucks lose in Phoenix. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks lost 114-106 to the Phoenix Suns. Giannis Antetokounmpo scored 34 points, but the team was shorthanded. Damian Lillard out with a sore ankle. Forward Chris Middleton left the game early with an ankle injury. Center Brooke Lopez out for personal reasons. Doc Rivers after the loss.
I thought we fought, hung in there. You knew at some point, you just felt at some point we wouldn't have enough offense on the floor.
Later, Rivers' press conference was interrupted.
Coach, I wanted to ask you too, like the Phoenix Suns, they kind of had some injury problems early in this season too, and they're looking a little bit fully more healthy now.
Fire alarm, we got to go, man. I'm joking.
Turns out it wasn't a fire, just an alarm on a battery. College hoops, the Badgers are in Michigan to play the Wolverines. NFL, the Packers' new linebackers coach is Anthony Campanile. He spent the last four seasons with the Miami Dolphins. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy tonight with rain developing late, warm with lows in the upper 30s and breezy. Showers around tomorrow, maybe some rumbles of thunder and staying breezy, highs in the upper 40s. Cooler for Friday and the weekend as high temperatures drop back into the 30s. It's 46 right now.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio. Refreshed. Hayward's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Johnny, so watching you in the video feed, and it was like doing a little something there around the sides of your eyes. It looked like you were using like a chapstick or something on your face. And I know, you know, check out the Facebook stream, the Twitter stream, the YouTube stream, because you could watch Johnny doing stuff to his face. There it is right there. Nice, nice.
Tim, you know, I just got it's evening and, okay, you know, I just put on this headache blend. I won't give the brand name of it, but I swear by this stuff. It's really nice. It's like a peppermint lavender. Mm. We'll roll it on next to the eyes, get the wide awake, you know, let's go.
Nice.
Wednesday nice. Night. It's a special one. It's going to be electric.
Electric special night.
Wednesday.
Well, first of all, though, too, Johnny, reminder, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Busted Pencils is on every night of the week now, Monday through Friday. But Wednesdays are going to be really special because every Wednesday we are going to have our best friends, our awesome colleagues. They come from the podcast, Educators Amplified, whereabouts somewhere in the Milwaukee area, we'll just say. Teacher Joanna and Teacher Hallie from Educators Amplified, welcome to Busted Pencils. What are you guys up to?
Thanks for having us. Thanks for inviting us on the show. We are so thrilled for you guys that Busted Pencils is on 5 days a week now.
And thrilled that you invited us to come one of those days, Wednesdays.
Well, we gave you an option to pick a day.
Well, yeah.
I was saying Wednesday so people can remember.
Yeah, well, it's a perfect midweek shift because Otherwise you got Tim and Johnny talking all this stuff all week long. It's like, we got to break it up somehow. Yeah, we have guests and we have awesome callers. But on Wednesdays, Teacher Joanna, Teacher Hallie, Educators Amplified, we've had so much great conversation in your podcast and in times you've been on Busted Pencils, mm-hmm. and then even off the shows, just so much energy and excitement around awesome things that are happening that teachers are doing, that teachers are talking about, especially in the Milwaukee area, the Chicago area, all of the kinds of things happening in our classrooms. We get to talk often about it, and now we're so excited because every Wednesday we get to talk about it together here on the radio with all you out there listening. You can call in and talk to Teacher Hallie and Teacher Joanna too.
844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Stump Teacher Joanna, stump Teacher Hallie night. It's Educators Amplified. All right, so let's do a little bit of an intro, though. So we'll start with Teacher Joanna. Educators Amplified. Wait, let me ask the question.
Okay. Whoa, hey.
You know, Educators Amplified. What is it? What's it about? Give us a little, you know, intro, and then Hallie, we're going to let you then kind of pick up where Joanna leaves off. So Joanna, Teacher Joanna, Educators Amplified, tell us about it.
Educators Amplified in its current form is mainly a podcast that shares the perspective of teachers or/ educators. We are public school employees in the state of Wisconsin. However, we do have a little bit of a history. Educators Amplified has gone through several iterations, and that is actually, I first met you through my first iteration of Educators Amplified, which was a live event, live broadcast radio show. I think, I don't even remember if it was 2017, 2018, a while back. And then we transitioned into a podcast over COVID. And now we're doing both.
It's now awesome.
A podcast and a radio show. But we also like to say that we are a movement and a space to hold teachers or educators and their experience. Hallie, what would you add?
I would just add that, you know, we hear a lot about education out here, but we rarely hear from the educators or the people on the front lines. And so we serve to be those voices, especially when, ooh, it's bad up in these schools. and meaning like, you know, it's hard to be a teacher right now. And so I really respect understanding when teachers might feel fearful or afraid to share what's going on with their working conditions or whatever. And so Joanna and I are like, hey, guess what? We're not afraid to share what's going on so that we can get to a better space. And we're looking to offer hope and inspiration to our brothers and sisters out there on the front lines doing this work with children.
And if you want to offer us some hope too, 844-967-2789. Joanna, though, you just got to go back, though. You reminded me of that, you know, the original Educators Amplified, Milwaukee, back room of a bar, bunch of educators, community members, board members in the Milwaukee area coming together. And that was the conception, was to say, let's amplify the voices of the local educators, particularly in the Milwaukee area. And that's where it was. We were, you know, on a Saturday, morning through the afternoon, and host of Civic Media, Earl Ingram, was one of the main kind of, you know, MC of that event, that created Educators Amplified. So, you know, Earl Ingram, I know you're out there listening to Busted Pencils. Earl, thank you for that, because Earl, look what you've created. Educators Amplified, the podcast, and now Educators Amplified, special appearances every Wednesday on Busted Pencils. Johnny Lupinacci, throw a question at.
Well, I mean, I'm just excited. I thought we were getting an origin story here. We got a little breakdown, but take it back, OG. Like, how does Educators Amplified thing come to fruition?
Well, when Tim was talking, it was reminding me of the original idea was kind of like a teacher town hall. You know, where it was like, let's provide, we wanted an event. Many of the teachers had, even though in Wisconsin, this Act 10, which was a bill that took away our collective bargaining rights and kind of devastated our profession, although it was a terrible thing for us, the teachers felt a lot of solidarity in all of the rallying we did during that time. And so we were trying to recapture this spirit of being together and united in support of our public schools. We were also trying to bridge the gap between urban and suburban districts. So in the Milwaukee metro area, we have the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee Public Schools. And then we had what was called Region 7, which was all of our surrounding districts. And so we were putting together like an education or education town hall that included educators, school board members, community activists, union leaders to come together to share and to see that our experiences, although we were in different communities, the experience with the attack on public education, we all had a lot in common.
Think about it. Yeah, there. So Johnny, there, you know, and beverages and a food truck on top of all of that, though. Johnny's like, man, how come I wasn't invited?
Well, yeah. We've always been big on having joy in the struggle. Mm-hmm. We recognize we struggle, but we still find our joy. Actually, that was, do you remember, Hallie? That was our students last year. The senior class, the senior mm-hmm. speech was about, that was like our theme in our school last year was having joy
in the struggle. The
struggle. Mm-hmm.
So the last time, so Educators Amplified, the podcast, we now have the origin story there, you know, Milwaukee back there bringing together this town hall, educators, public education advocates, board members, community members, media at the time too, just bringing that together. And we did a few more of those events. And then you said, you know, the podcast formed, and I was so happy that you actually reached out to me at that time to bring me over from Madison. I was living, it was Madison, Wisconsin at the time. Yeah. You know, we talked, we were testifying about the truth, about the reality. Yeah. Well, I mean,
I always say to Tim, it was crazy that our start was a 3-hour live broadcast. Like now, you know, Hallie and I just put out a 23-minute podcast and we're like, okay, yeah, that seems right. But the original Educators Amplified was a 3-hour live broadcast.
That's long format. It's a long format, you know. You had the game. You just started with a long format.
We started with a long format, but it really did roll. We kind of did it hour by hour, and we had a panel, you mm-hmm. know, and then we had specific topics, and so that was the origin stories, were these live events where we'd put together the panel, and then people were excited to just come out and hear and step to the mic. You know, it was interactive too. So we were kind of like live on stage, but our audience, we always had our audience members, you know, we had a mic out in the audience and people could participate.
That's what we're doing here, though, now every Wednesday, when you think about it, right? I mean, you know, we all four of us are at our mics. We're the panel. You all out there, 844-967-2789, you have that microphone. Give us a call right now. Let's do it. You know, we are here together every Wednesday night now to, you know, talk what's going on. Hallie.
Yeah.
Give me a sense, though, to... In a classroom, give me, you know, as we're coming up here, just what is to you one of your most memorable experiences as Teacher Hallie?
Oh, my.
Oh.
Memorable moments. Well,
should I say exciting memorable moments or scary memorable or depressing memorable? Okay.
Oh, I was going optimistic or just like because of the nature of the classroom that we were teaching and we were always circled up. So like literally every day really was like really great with the students, but I would say memorable things were when students would create, you know, a lesson or a day or teach us, you know, and them going through that process. Whenever kids create things, that's my favorite.
Well, and so the reason I wanted to ask that question though, too, is because when we want to spend more time though, too, kind of talking very specifically about, tell us about, you know, the classroom that Teacher Joanna and Teacher Hallie occupied and that special place that you created there. That's what we're going to talk about. Teacher Joanna, Teacher Hallie, Educators Amplified, Busted Pencils, back after the break. But you can't say.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
It's Black History Month, and civic media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
The story of Black History Month starts in Chicago. It's 1915 and thousands are there to celebrate. 50 years since the Emancipation Proclamation and the end of slavery. The gathering also inspires civic organizations to uncover the many achievements of Black citizens. By 1926, the celebration of African American history is official.
This also is a time for rising racial pride. The black middle class is expanding, and industrial cities like Milwaukee are luring African Americans with good jobs. There's so much more to tell you. Listen for the next Black History Month story here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Oh, you know it. It's the dancing music for Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Yeah, we do want to talk about it, though. That's what we're doing every Monday through Friday. Busted Pencils, 844-967-2789. Educators Amplified every Wednesday. Teacher Joanna, Teacher Hallie. We talked about the special place that you guys created as teachers. And I'm going to put out a term, and then you guys kind of come in and go, no, Tim, that's all wrong. But you guys had a special place in a school and, you know, special education, alternative education. You guys are cringing right now going, okay, tell the listener out there the beautiful space you guys created. Teacher Hallie.
Well, right. So, you know, it's funny because we were together for 12 years working in what we called, well, it could be called an alternative school to, like, you know, that's what people wanted to put a, like, put a label on us. But it really was a space where children could choose to come. It was in a high school level. They could choose to come to our program, and really from the space of, and you know, we say traditional school really focuses on just, well, 90% academics, where we gave equal time into children developing socially, emotionally, physically, and intellectually, which was the academics. And so students chose to come there. They could, you know, have an IEP. They didn't need to have an IEP. But right. We did that together and created it and came together.
And Joanna, you brought this together. This was a conception, the real school, right?
The yeah. Real Academy.
The Real Academy.
Real Academy. Mm-hmm. And when they get to choose, now, just to, we like to help my neighbor figure out what we're talking about. So yeah. You were in a physical high school,
yeah.
But you had your own place in that physical high school where mm-hmm. students in that high school could say, I don't want to be a part of what's going on in the regular high school. I want to jump into the real academy. And then you guys mm-hmm. would say, sure, come here. Because I think what happens when somebody hears alternative is mm-hmm. that so you're also that place where that's where we sent all the other students who couldn't make it in traditional mm-hmm. classrooms. Help us figure out the reality of what it means to be teaching in the Real Academy alternative education. How's that work, Teacher Joanna?
Yeah, I was thinking of a few things as you were talking. Now, first of all, the way we looked at it was a typical high school may have like 1,000 students or so. So we were like, it just seems to us natural as educators that if you have 1,000 kids, you might want to have more than one approach to how you're doing things. And so we just viewed our program as it was another approach. And it was an approach that did mainly appeal to students who were more global thinkers rather than analytical. And what that means is like big picture first, or the whole thing, instead of, it's like whole to part instead of part to whole. Traditional education is part to whole. It's like little unit, little unit, little unit test. And our students thrived in conditions that were more conceptual, big picture, and then they could work backwards from there. So one, and just to like way things are, you got 1,000 kids. I mean, shoot, I have 2 children in my own family, and you do things different for each child. And so we viewed our program as just another choice to be able to make. in terms of their education. And then two, yes, we were housed within the traditional high school because we knew that it was really important for kids to still be a part of the school community, and that them belonging, you know, to, again, to the school district and that school community, it's a really important aspect for adolescents to still see themselves as a part of it. So we were actually very adamant, like people had suggested that maybe we wanted to move out off site. And we didn't want that because our students didn't want that. We saw that it was important to them and their families that, again, they were first a student of the high school. And then second, they chose to go through their day in a different way with us through our program.
Johnny, would you have wanted to be a student at the Real Academy?
Yeah, that sounds awesome. I can't even conceptualize my own learning in a high school space, Tim. We'll get into my origin stories another time, but I would love to teach in it. I would love to work with young people, having been a high school teacher and worked in, like, I like that teacher Hallie reminds, like a label, alternative education, to be able to have that as part of a high school. So where we're not disconnected from sports, we're not disconnected from student council. We're not, like, there's something really special about a high school. It's a community. It's a convening space. Mm-hmm. We're seeing that under threat all the time because it's increasingly become understood as a dangerous place to be. And that's a sad separate topic. But there's something excited about the energy that young people bring to the spaces that they share time together learning. It's really energetic. So yeah, I would love, you threw me off when you're like, would you want to be a student there? I can't even conceptualize something like that as a young person, but as a teacher, it would be wonderful to be part of. And you know, it's inspiring. It's inspiring to be hearing about Real Academy and what it did.
Okay, but I got to go on a deviation here because, Joanna, you kind of kids liked it. And Hallie, you can respond to this because you said right away, it's like, you know, up there in the traditional school, they had their tests and they had their little units. And so the Real Academy, what I'm hearing is that so you guys, you know, it was kind of like just a place to hang out and have fun.
Yeah, I would say, you know, no.
Okay. Come on.
But I'd also say that, you know, children, especially adolescents, they want to belong. And even when they don't feel like they belong in the traditional system, making the choice to do something different is still a whole thing in that too. And then also, you know, I want to recognize that this wasn't just like, I want to do something different, close my eyes and pick. Like, it was a process. But also, I'll just say, to kind of cut back to you asking Johnny, I was a kid who went through traditional public schools, totally, like, followed the trajectory of the linear path, did relatively well, you know, could, quote unquote, play school as we were supposed to. And I remember as an educator being in this new space, how my mind was just blown by how schools could be such a better space and how I would have super duper benefited from a space of where community was a priority, where belonging was actually like hearing from other students and peers my age. You know, like, it was just so academic focused and I could do that when I was in school. But this was like a whole nother level of academics.
We, that we designed the space for adolescents.
Yeah.
It wasn't like we designed the space and we're like, hey, adolescents, fit into our space.
Yeah.
We created the space tailored toward adolescents and how they learn, think, thrive.
You said the key word there, Teacher Joanna, how they learn more with Educators Amplified, real learning on the way.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. 5 Marines are missing after their helicopter went down in the mountains of Southern California.
The helicopter was located in Pine Valley, which is part, which adjoins the Cleveland National Forest, which is a very remote area. And currently, because of the weather conditions, as we've seen what's been happening inside of Southern California with the rains, this area was affected by snow. So that could potentially impact what is currently a search and rescue operation.
ABC's Louis Martinez at the Pentagon. CENTCOM says a U.S. airstrike today in Baghdad targeted a senior leader of an Iranian-backed militia behind attacks on U.S. troops in the region. Attorney General Garland informed leaders of the House and Senate Judiciary Committees that Special Counsel Robert Hur has completed his investigation into President Biden's handling of classified documents. Senate Republicans blocked the passage of a bipartisan border package. Many say it just didn't go far enough. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin lawmakers are considering letting prosecutors have more time to bring charges for serious crimes. For now, prosecutors have 1 year to bring an accused offender to court. A new bill would extend that to 3 years. Supporters say it can take longer than a year to match DNA evidence to a suspect. Opponents say the state should hire more crime lab workers to make the job faster. People starting new farms in Wisconsin are encouraged to consider leasing land instead of buying. Steve Okunik is with the University of Wisconsin Extension. He says leasing land is often easier for startups.
Especially if you're a new person coming into a neighborhood, it can be very difficult. It comes down to networking.
Nationwide, the number of new farmers with less than 5 years of experience has gone up by 17%. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
The Todd Allbutt Show.
The immigration challenge in this country, as Jorge Ramos, the great author, likes to say, you can build as many and high walls and deep walls as you possibly want. But until you start addressing the problem within countries, people will keep coming. For all of our faults, people still look at America as that shining city on a hill and want to come here, and I believe that makes us stronger.
The Todd Allbutt Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy tonight with rain developing late, warm with lows in the upper 30s and breezy. Showers around tomorrow, maybe some rumbles of thunder and staying breezy, highs in the upper 40s. Cooler for Friday and the weekend as high temperatures drop back into the 30s. It's 46 right now.
The Todd Allbutt Show.
You look at Taylor Swift. She fought off the bitterness of defeat when she lost her records, when she was kind of duped by a manager. People who told her she'd never amount to anything. But it doesn't matter if you like her music or not. I'm a fan of anyone. Doesn't matter whether they're an artist or an athlete or just a common Jane or Joe. If you've overcome something in your life, you're a winner. If you've made it through, that's what it's all about.
The Todd Allbutt Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, connecting the dots between the left and the right. Rational Revolution with Chris Elfine, Saturdays at 2 and Sundays at 1 on The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, and on the Civic Media app.
988 Wisconsin Lifeline, how can I help you?
Share hope, find purpose when you become a 988 Wisconsin Lifeline counselor. The 988 Wisconsin Lifeline provides free and confidential support to anyone experiencing a mental health or substance use crisis. Staffed by Family Services, 988 has experienced tremendous growth, and more statewide counselors are needed to answer calls, texts, and chats to the Lifeline. If you want to share hope and find purpose in your next job, apply now. You can work remotely from anywhere in Wisconsin. Training is provided and flexible hours are available. 988 Wisconsin Lifeline counselors enjoy competitive compensation and benefits packages. Most importantly, you can share hope and find purpose when you become a 988 Wisconsin Lifeline counselor. Apply today.
Rice Lake's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Right through the undertow. That's what we do every Monday through Friday, busted pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education, Teacher Joanna, Teacher Hallie, Educators Amplified every Wednesday. Digging deep, though, into the Real Academy, the place where you guys created a space. And I think, and Johnny, you said this, and Hallie, you said, you know, as a student, but when you were a teacher, your mind was blown. I got to imagine a teacher out there right now who's in the linear, traditional academic setting, listening to the two of you talk, their minds are blown and saying, I want to teach the way you guys sound like you guys were doing stuff like that. How can we take what you guys were doing in the Real Academy and help create a movement out into the, quote, traditional classrooms? If you're one of those teachers out there, 844-967-2789. If you have a question for Teacher Hallie, Teacher Joanna, if you're jealous of the fact that they got to really do teaching and learning, we want to hear from you. I'm feeling like that what you guys, then you actually got to teach. Because when I hear so many teachers getting frustrated with the profession, a very simple thing is going, hey, Tim, I'm not allowed to teach anymore. I can't do this and I'm out. It sounds like what was going on in the Real Academy was you guys had the ability, that autonomy to be teachers, to create spaces that worked for kids. That's got to be so rewarding. Joanna.
Well, that's a big reason that we have our podcast, because we want to share that teaching actually can be really generative. You know, you don't have to be depleted if the conditions are right. So, and we're not here to say that individuals need to rise above the conditions that are set for them, but we do want to serve as an example and always provide the alternative to when we have a philosophical foundation, you know, in what we want to provide for our students and go from there. And like I said, before break, I talked about like a philosophical foundation for us was we're going to create a program for adolescents, like something that makes sense for them. And actually, in order to do that, you have to listen to them and you have to believe what they're saying. But you also have to have a lot of knowledge about child development and kind of, Hallie and I would focus on the biology of learning and the biology of our bodies in order to do that. And so we, on one hand, it can sound like impossible where people are like, oh my God, how can you change the whole system like that? On the other hand, I would, you know, and this is really what keeps Hallie and I going and uplifted was like, well, I think it's actually really doable because, again, I do believe it's the heart of what you were saying, that it's the actual essence of teaching and that is why people are in the profession, is to really connect with their students. And they are trained professionals. They are, if they are fully certified and credentialed, they are coming to you with the skills to be able to understand the learning processes, child development, curriculum design. And so, I don't know, that those are some things I was thinking about. What would you add, Hallie?
Yeah, I would add that I think that, I mean, beautifully said as usual, but also like that is why Educators Amplified is here, because I know we can talk about this beautiful space that we taught in, but it was also like hand in hand with a really toxic work environment where as beautiful as it sounded, I was also like, oh my gosh, this profession is just being dismantled. And I think when I talk to teachers, they're lost in the icky sauce of how they're treated as professionals. And so we are really here to be like, right, how can we help harness people back into, you know, or not even like they're connected, but how can we help you not get lost in the frustration, in the fear, in the scarcity mindset? And how can we empower and build up educators to like preserve, save, make these beautiful spaces for workers and children.
Did you guys ever take any criticism for what you were doing from any, you know, from,
of course, anytime you're doing something that's unfamiliar, folks are going to question. Most of the questions, though, came from the institution themselves.
Yeah.
Students and families are very open because I do think they have intimate knowledge and experience about what isn't working in our traditional school models, from things as external as schedules, you know, like start times, end times, amount of classes in a day, the type of maybe passive compliance that's expected. So most of the criticism, but I would just say it was questions like, you know, school is a model or it's a machine. And when something different is going on, it's natural that people are going to have questions. But again, that's why we have Educators Amplified, because we want to be able to share our experience, our knowledge, and let people maybe find in themselves that it's not that far away from what they're actually thinking and you know, what they're thinking and what they're operating through.
Their intuition as a professional is saying is actually spot on, but the circumstances and situations educators are in is counter to their intuition expertise.
When we fell under criticism, the biggest advocates or the best spokespeople were our students themselves.
Absolutely.
It's interesting. Yeah, Johnny.
Yeah, you know, what we've been talking about a lot on the show, Tim, recently especially, is, you know, the importance of having capacity to recognize and value difference, especially when the way we've been doing things over and over again, whether it's the way we're thinking about something or the way we see somebody else, our lack of capacity and comfort and trust in doing things differently has to develop, right? We have to get better at that as adults, because what we're talking about here is, you know, when you said, were they taking any criticism for things more internally, is because we know there's information out there of how we can better support learners, but so often we aren't comfortable with, or we don't trust, like Teacher Hallie said, the intuition that great educators are having in those spaces to say, here's what a child needs, or here's what this young person is telling us through their behavior or through what they are communicating as their needs, or their family who knows them well is saying, here's what this young person needs right now from their community. And educators are cued into that, right? They have an acute sense of the diverse needs of the students around them. So it's really matching up. We were talking last night about special education and the shortage of special ed teachers. And the same thing came back up, how time and time again, schools are not structured in ways. The way we've done quote unquote schools, right, or schooling, isn't supporting the different ways young people learn and the different needs they have, as well as, and we fold that in, Teacher Joanna and Teacher Hallie are here to talk about this as well, and they give testimony to it. The way we do schooling also doesn't support the different ways great teaching can be done. Really stacked around one kind of teaching that most of us learned you can't sustain for very long. Like, it's hard to really be a great teacher in the sort of in the model of how we're taught to be this one kind of superhero that can do everything. And at a certain point, and that's not saying there aren't great teachers out there like that, but for so many of us, we have to find our own unique voices and really kind of fold into how are we able to be great educators. And that's also part of, right, the Latin root of the word education is, I'm gonna pronounce it terribly because I did awful in Latin, but educare or educare, and it's and it's to be present at the birth of,
but it's the Latin way.
To be present at at the birth of ideas, to lead, to draw out, to lead forward, to bring up, right? And so to be an educator, right? To know that here we have some young people who deserve and have the right to be brought up, right? For who they are, and how do we better organize around that? And I'm just so honored and lucky to be here and to share that with all you, because Teacher Hallie and Teacher Joanna give us hope. They tell stories of that this is possible to do in the smallest, most local places. And that, you know, when you're in these situations, it's important to know that there is a whole lot of structural stuff against doing good teaching, but it can be done.
Yep. Well,
we'll talk about it so that we can keep making sure it's done wherever it needs.
Yeah. Our experience was with high school students who are very capable. You know, high school students are very capable of co-creating their learning experience and operating in power with. And that was something that I knew, you know, observed as an educator early on, where I was like, the whole like, well, no wonder people are depleted. They haven't me hoof it all. And and these kids are really capable and willing and wanting to be a partner. We just have to create the space and show them how. And so that too, it was, that's why we say what we did was sustaining. We used to say, no disrespect to people who do truly like suffer from compassion fatigue, but we never felt that way. Because we were sharing the load with our students. And that's, again, as trained and skilled educators, we were able to do that. When you talk about birthing the learning, right? Like, it's not just like the kid walks up to you and says, like, here's what I want to do, make it happen. You know, it's more you're observing, you're noticing their patterns, you're seeing what lights them up, you're seeing where they resist. And then, you know, you're building things together through that. And typically it's real world experiences. Something else, a big observation we made, was how kind of off base high school is with its focus on the future when kids are really present. And, you know, it's just honestly kind of meaningless to say to kids the whole, like, you're going to need this someday. It's a lot more, you're going to go a lot farther. You're going to get that engagement when you're talking about right now and something that is relevant right now. And so we used to talk about that, like, let's get in the same time zone with our children, and that's the present.
And I also think, you know, the way we were really able to do this, and I think great teachers are doing this too, but having the capability to be caring, consistent adults, where we would talk in a circle every day on a regular basis. You know, like, you learn so much about one another, but then also how to direct learning, how to direct, you know, where they're going to go with things. I think that too, that it wasn't, you know, my mind wasn't on, I got to get through this lesson. It was also like, I've got to make space to hear, observe, be with the students so that we can move forward.
So the classroom experience then, you had in a way, I'm imagining, like, when I taught second grade and I got in there at 7 a.m. in that classroom and I had those second graders all day long. Is that what you did with high school kids?
Yeah, we did. And like we said, like, that was actually a model that worked well for them. So the high school model now is like 50-minute classes in a lot of places and a million transitions. Yeah, we found that just simplifying and streamlining benefited our students.
Man, I just think about it because, 50 minutes, bell rings, get up, 2 minutes to get to class, get down, put your books down, another 50 minutes, back up, go to lunch, move it on. All of that, it's so programmed and so regimented. I wonder if students themselves at first had a tough time figuring out how to be in your classroom. Teacher Hallie, Teacher Joanna, Educators Amplified. Let's join their classroom when we get back.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Hi, I'm Pete Schwabe, an actor, writer, director, and comedian.
Join me for my new show, Nightlight, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll chill after a long day in traffic, talking politics, or trying to look busy at work. We'll talk movies, TV, theater, music, and lots of fun Wisconsin stuff. So mix an old-fashioned and join the discussion. We'll go from Wisconsin to Hollywood and back, and you can still be in bed by 10. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 8 to 10. On the Buzz of the North, 910 AM, WBZH.
Nightline with Pete Schwabe.
I saw the Ramones in that place on their last tour.
Oh, wow.
I was doing the club next door, and we just walked next door after our show.
Did you use the old, we're the comedians line?
That's a big thing in stand-up. For those of you listening, comics will use that to get in anywhere. Hi, we're the comedians next door.
Yeah, we're the comics.
Like you're with the FBI or something. But sometimes it works. People are like, oh, that's so cool. Come on
in. Oh, you're comics. Yeah, come on in.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights 8 till 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Of course we do. We give it all. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, giving it all every night, Monday through Friday. Educated educators talking education. The number 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Teacher Hallie, Teacher Joanna, Educators Amplified, our guests every Wednesday. Making it real right now, the Real Academy, talking real. And we left that with trying to imagine this high school setting. And I said, it comes across to me as like when I was a second grade teacher, I came in and, you know, my kids would come in at 7:30 in the morning. They would be with me all day long. You know, I'd take them to lunch, to their specials or different things like that. But for the most part, they were with me all day in my classroom. And you were saying that's the way the Real Academy operated. So high school kids stayed with you guys all day and they didn't complain.
Well, no. Allie, do you want to speak to that?
I mean, I just think it's worth looking at kind of like what we were saying. I think it was just a reframing of, are we having students or children come to school to like help serve them, or was it more of we're just having kids enter a system, you know? And so it just, that's how we created in our minds the way to work with students in these bigger, larger chunks, and it worked for us. But I think
based on what they were saying, like,
yeah,
it was through hearing kids being like, it's too much to keep up with. I feel like I can't settle. I feel like I get to this place. They were more willing to spend, and again, this is what we all need in terms of learning, focus, and concentration, right? It's like uninterrupted periods of time in order to get into a flow of some sort. I'm curious, you guys are college professors, like what are the length of your classes? Or this is something we would tell high school students. They didn't realize that college isn't like high school. Like some of the kids would say, I don't want to go to college, because they had a picture in their mind that it was Monday through Friday from 7:30 to 3:30. And they were like, oh, I don't want to do that for another 4 or 5 years.
Right. No, and even that question, it's quite varied. You know, right now the undergraduates at my institution on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, they are taking classes on the hour for 50 minutes. So 9 to 9:50 is their one course, and they're going to take that class every Monday, every Wednesday, and every Friday. What might be different, and this is for the high school kid, is that, and they might not have another class until 1 o'clock that day again, so 1 to 1:50, and things like that. So that's, you know, an undergraduate curriculum there, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and then on Tuesdays and Thursdays a little bit longer. But every so often too, I could have a single night class that might start at 5 o'clock and go for 2 hours and 50 minutes right there. And that's one class, and it meets one day a week. So it is varied in college. And John, I know, Johnny, you do a lot of work with graduate students. What does your schedule look like?
I mean, I like that question that Teacher Joanna threw out there, but I mean, I'm primarily a high school teacher, And now I teach teachers and I teach college students, but I take the same approach that I learned with teaching adolescent learners. Right. And I, and so one of the great things as I experienced with my high school students as well, as I had the great benefit of, I was teaching college while I was also teaching high school as well. So I could bring students, you know, from my math classroom to a math class on campus. And so they would begin to learn that, whoa, okay, college is different. There are ways, if I apply what I know about what I need as a learner, that I can maybe be more successful or enjoy the learning in college. Now, on the flip side, I teach, you know, whether I'm teaching graduate classes or undergraduate classes, and especially for undergrad classes, I'm a bad example of what's typical on campus, because people are shocked often when I explain this, but I don't teach in more than 12-minute segments. And that's because I have a lot of information I want people to retain. And so generally for one class period, which is about an hour and a half, about 90 minutes, I have two, maybe three really important 12-minute segments. The rest of the time we're actively engaged in practicing, generating questions, being in conversation. And so it's sort of like a lab station space around those 2 to 3 12-minute segments that I know that I have their attention. So they'll either get a direct instruction from me, but they'll never, and I want to tell them is I'm a talkative guy, but I will never give you a direct instruction that lasts any more than 8 minutes, and that'll fall in my 12 minutes that I get you. So we chart that out. So that's really important. That said, there are courses on campus where you're going to get hammered for a 90-minute lecture, right? And so, you know, those things are important to build our capacity up. But I'm often working with instructors or other professors on how do we apply that what we know about adolescent learners is that they do want to be here. They do want to be engaged in the learning, but they look tired because you're boring. and they'll say, oh my God, get out. I say, do I need to repeat myself? What you're sharing is really important, but break it into small segments that are direct and engaging. And then a lot of people say, well, I'm not here to entertain. And I say, well, but you're here to teach. And a certain amount of teaching is holding engaged attention, right? And so if young people are tired in your class, it's because I'm almost about to fall asleep observing because it's a snoozer, right? And so you can do things to break that up and be really helpful to learners. And that was true also in high school too. You didn't have to like necessarily put on a dance and show. You had to be real, be who you were, and also understand the needs of the learners. We weren't going to learn important new stuff at 7 a.m. for 13-year-olds, right? Also, all the biological, all the medical information pediatricians are telling us is like, these young people are not taking in new information right now, this time of day.
Right.
So it was like really applying that stuff of like, when can we be our best learner? And how can I be the best kind of teacher that's natural to me, that's real, but also is not asking you to do something nearly impossible and then blaming you for not being great at it.
So you have a Real Academy philosophical foundation.
I'm vibing with Real Academy for sure.
Johnny's got a Real Academy in the head.
Well, and I like that you told me 12 minutes because pre-COVID it was, you know, 15 to 20. And I bet now it is 12. You found a new sweet spot.
Well, if you go over 12, then I just start to see like attention and it makes sense. So get to the point, put it in a TikTok. Let's go.
Teacher Joanna, Teacher Hallie, Educators Amplified every Wednesday night. Thank you for busting pencils.
So awesome. Thank you.
Good night.
Sawyer County's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Hey everybody, it's Todd Allwald. Noon to 3 on Thursday, our guest is Keegan Kelly from Crack.com. Obscure sitcoms right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinaire on Air with Jane Matinaire. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, and on the Civic Media app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Daria Aldinger.